Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here. Well, good morning. I'm so excited to share with you what God's put on my heart. Happy Mother's Day, and mothers, I'm thinking of you, and so this is something I wrote out that I just want to speak over all of us in the room. If you have given birth this year, we celebrate you. If you've adopted, we rejoice, and we're honored to be a part of this journey with you. If you've struggled with infertility, we're hoping with you, and we're holding your hand. If you are tired and underappreciated with a house full of kids, we applaud you and we appreciate you. If you lost a child this year due to death or miscarriage, we weep with you and mourn with you. If your child is lost to addiction, like I once was, we hurt with you and we join with you in hope, believing that there is one who brings prodigals home. If you're experiencing the empty nest, we walk with you and we're excited about the next season of your life God has for you. If you live with painful memories of your mom, we pray with you that you find spiritual moms who can be the mom maybe you never even had. If you're a blended family, and you're joining with older kids, we embrace this beautiful change with you, and we pray for unity in your home. If you're pregnant for the first time, we're prayerfully anticipating with you the joyful birth of your child. And lastly, if you've lost a mother over the past few years, and she is not presently with you on this Mother's Day, we honor her, and we remember her with you. We're thankful for all of you mothers and all of you that take good care of your mothers, and we celebrate today with each and every one of you. I love you guys. So if I could title this sermon, I am not a preacher. So thank you for allowing me, Jonathan, and everyone to just share my heart with you. I'm a teacher, so you might pick up on that. I like the back and forth facilitating conversation. If I could title this sermon, it would be called Meant to Multiply. I thought long and hard about what a mother is. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Proverbs 31. And it is 10 through 31. I'm not going to read all of it, but I encourage you all at some point before the sun sets, before you close your eyes tonight, when you lay down, and maybe you get to that moment and the Holy Spirit just quickens you and reminds you, I encourage you to read the whole out loud, right? Words are powerful. In fact, that's how God created. It says that he spoke, right? So there's something really powerful in this passage, and it's familiar to a lot of us. It's actually, if you don't know, there's when you translate from one language and one culture to another, sometimes there's aspects to that culture that get lost. One thing, English is a universal language. It's neutral, right? It's not, can't tell if it's the gender of male or female, or it doesn't have accent marks. We add punctuation in English to try to give emphasis. Also, our language is structured in a way where it's very easy to learn. And so I'm grateful for English. But please don't take offense of this. English is so boring. It is so dull. Think about it. All of us have been taught sentence diagramming. You have subject, verb, noun, direct object. Yes, there we go. We got it. We're in this. We communicate, right? It's just the same. Did you know in the ancient language, it is so much better, because what's most important in the sentence actually goes first. So when we see holy, 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 or just an emphasis in the beginning, the Hebrew and the Greek language don't have to have the sentence structure. You can tell by the ending of the word. And even in Hebrew, the root of the word, something so much more powerful. Well, Proverbs is in the Old Testament, right? So that's Hebrew. It has what's called acrostic. And we have no way of transliterating that into English. An acrostic is when you take, and it's so powerful. Has anyone ever heard someone speak in Hebrew? It sounds, they're called gutturals. It actually, you can hear Hebrew. And I mean, you get tone and pitch in English, but you can actually tell what they're saying, whether it's good or bad, right? So what I'm getting at is in Proverbs 31, it's an acrostic, which means something we don't do in the English is there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And a lot of times when they're trying to bring forth a really strong message, in fact, Psalm 119 has, it's an acrostic. Lamentations 3, it's an acrostic. The first letter of the beginning of every sentence goes down the Hebrew alphabet. And there's no way, right? Like, our words are just not the same. Aleph, which is A, it doesn't translate over. So I just want you to know that there's a powerful when you hear it actually spoken of. But I'm just going to read a couple of the verses. I'm going to start in verse 9 or 10, right at the beginning. It says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing in value. She brings him good, no harm, all the days of her life." And we're going to get to that at the very end, too, so remember that. "She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like a merchant ship, right, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night. For mothers with young children, you know, she provides food for her family and portions for the female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants in the vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She makes linen garments and she sells it. She supplies merchants with sashes." So I kind of jumped to verse 24 and I'm jumping to 26. "She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue." So I'm just going to point out, if you can't tell what's at this altar right here, it's chapstick. We'll talk about that later. "She watches over the affairs of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness." Verse 27. So being a mom, I thought long and hard, what would be the greatest gift for Mother's Day? So it is May 2022, and I want to hear from you moms. Moms, speak out. What do you want for Mother's Day this year? Have you communicated to your family? What is it? Think about it. I'll go ahead and let you know while you're thinking. I made it very clear to my family that the way they can prove their love to me is to clean up. That is what I want. And if I wasn't so tired from all the kids yesterday, they were ready and prepared for marching orders yesterday. I have a garage that is not pleasant to even walk into. I have a back porch that I bought the house because I love the screened-in back porch, just to imagine myself getting up early in the morning before everyone else and making some coffee and sitting out there and drinking it. And there is so much pollen that I cannot get myself, right? Environment matters to us women, yes. So that's something that I want. And I've let my kids know, it's free. Just do it. One thing my kids know, what else? What else do I ask for most Mother's Day? Can you think of it, kids? Yeah, besides chores, what else do I, when you ask me, what do you want for Mother's Day? I know you guys don't have money, so yeah. Yeah. Oh, Sophia made the cutest little coupon book, and it has all chores. Like, it's so cute how she knows everything that I ask for around the house. But Damien, he knows that it's words of affirmation. Just write me a card. It can even be handmade, right? Like, just let me know, take a moment and reflect, right, on motherhood. What else? Is there anything else you got moms want to say? Because I'm going to give dads and kids a chance to talk. So you might as well spit out some, because they're going to call you out too, right? Yes, that's a very good one. Being with your family. That's so nice of you. I make them be with me while I watch them Slave drive, yes. What else? Is there anything else? All right, it's time for the dads and the kids. What do your moms, if put forth effort, what do they want for Mother's Day this year? Thank you. Somebody mentioned food. Yes, don't make me cook my own Mother's Day meal. That is exactly what I'm going for at lunch today. Yes, what else? Flowers are nice, yeah. Some moms. Yes, there we go. Bree's given all the hints over here. That's very good. So what I think of, what's the greatest gift that God can give us mothers today? What is the greatest gift that we can walk out of this worship experience and go, man, like, I just got the coolest gift. What? She doesn't want to say it again. Whatever it is, I'm sure it was a mom and it's true, so... I would say it's the gift of being full. Being full. That's what we're going to talk about. So being full of what, you might ask? Some of you moms rushed out of the house today, and you didn't get any breakfast. You maybe made sure they had it, right? Or you didn't get your coffee. So if you would like an iced coffee with caramel syrup from Starbucks, will you raise your hand? And Sophia is going to pass out some coffee, because we want to make sure you're full. So this is our object lesson. Does anybody want some iced coffee? There you go, right here. Moms. There you go. Anyone? Yeah, in the back over there. Sophia. And Damien, that bag right there. If you didn't have any breakfast, since we're talking about being full, there are apple fritters in that bag. So if you would like an apple fritter, your waiter right here, Damien, will come bring. Just raise your hand. There's no shame in wanting an apple fritter. Does anybody want it? Because otherwise it goes to the dads. Yeah, there's one. Yeah, right? Carissa, take it. This is your moment. Okay. You want to know what's so cool about being full and being uniquely woman? We were meant to multiply. All right, I'm going to ask, what is 1 times 1? That didn't get us very far, okay? But what's 100 times 2? That's a huge jump, right? When we are full and we were made to multiply, think about it even genetically for all of the medical field workers in the house. What is the symbol of multiplication? An X. What are our chromosomes that we have that's different? We have a double X. We have it twice as much. Right there should be a symbol. And for all of us moms, that women were created to multiply. It's how we were wired. And so I think about my grandma's house. I want you all to go back for a minute. Think about the people who have all these little trinkets or collectibles. What are things that, and it could totally be grandpa. I'm not going to be like gender exclusive, okay? But it's Mother's Day, so we're focusing on grandma or mom or whoever. What do they collect? Like, I've seen porcelain dolls. What else? Stamps. Okay. There's ducks. Yeah. What else? Plant. Who said plants? Oh, we're getting somewhere. What else? Knickknacks. Okay. I think of, it's not called cat men. It's typically called cat lady, right? Lots of wind chimes. Okay, there's wind chimes. There we go. All right, so here, let me bring this home to just some personal application. There are some of you who love plants. Me and Heather wish we could keep plants alive. But you very much, like, you go on Alex's Instagram and you see she is the mother of many, many plants. Yes, there's something that we are multiplying and collecting. I even think about yesterday or the day before I went over to Nikki's house because she was giving away a car seat to the family, the Israel family. And it was so cool because that's the heart of a mother, is we love consignment shops. We love to pass along clothes. We love because it's being multiplied. It's being used again. It's what we love about Pinterest. It's what we love about Etsy or eBay, right? Like, we are finding value. All right, so there was a famous TikTok a couple months ago that someone was saying, when you give a woman a house, what does she make? A home. When you give her food, what does she make? A meal, yeah.
And it goes on and on to describe what we give moms. When think about it, when they go to the store, whether they're using their own phone app or whatever, like they actually think about multiple meals, okay? Like that, this is not a knock on guys, but in general, not all of you, but when you go to the store, what do you, you might come home with a little bit more snacks than meals, or you're really good at that one meal that you're gonna make that one night, and it's a bomb meal, but it's also like, so we're gonna go to the grocery store every day now? Can we just get it all at once? The power of multiplication. We also multiply, our bodies were naturally wired to reproduce. Our life source is our blood. We are continually reproducing. You see this. We are the only ones capable of creating humans and feeding those humans till they get much, much larger, right? Those babies. Did you know that during a physical pregnancy, the woman's body undergoes a complete transformation? It shifts the lining in our womb. It thickens in order to create an environment for new life to develop while it's kept protected. It's safe, it's warm. Did you know that her hormone levels actually change to prevent miscarriage? It is trying to incubate. Her brain chemistry alters. Her nutrients are directed to go first to the unborn baby, and then secondly to herself, naturally, instinctively. Her center of gravity actually shifts so that she can keep her balance while her entire body is being transformed for this baby. Pregnancy is a remarkable process that shifts the focus of all the efforts from the woman's body to take care of new life. And you know, that actually reminds me that I have a gift for a new mother. Pastor Bree, will you come up here? She has an announcement to make.
We're having a baby.
Happy Mother's Day. So celebrate with her. That is very, very exciting. She multiplies and enlarges what is given to her. Did you hear that? That is the Proverbs 31 woman that we're going to just talk about. So if you want to develop anything, give it to a woman. Even on an MRI scan, and I've joked about this before, but I'm so serious. Early in our marriage, Jonathan and I really struggled with how we didn't get each other. And we had on our fridge an MRI scan of a female brain and then of a male brain, to see that men have 6 times more gray matter and women have 10 times more white matter, to understand that women are able to think about everything all at once. I can kiss Jonathan and think about the credit card bill. That brain is not the same for men. Everything is connected. That's why they're such good storytellers. They are able to zone in on something so powerful and bring everybody into the story, and you're like just sitting at their feet like, wow, that is so cool. It's also how we raise children as mothers. We're constantly changing and multitasking, whether it's at work or at home. And so the challenge that I have for women today, I only have 2 quick points, and then we're going to pray over women in general and celebrate this awesome day with our families. But the challenge I have is for women to be full. Otherwise, multiplication has no effect. Or we're multiplying the problem. And the men said, amen. So let me get to the first point, the bad news, then we'll get to the good news, because we just need to be honest. What I love about this church, man, we can be real with each other. There's no facade. There's no show. We are all, and with COVID, it's not even just the culture of this church that was here before we got here, but COVID created this culture of like, if you don't want to go to church, you don't go to church. So that means the people that are here, like, you want to be here. Like, you want to be in community. You want to hear from the Lord, from others, and hear and receive from the Lord, like yourself as you're worshiping together communally. There's something really powerful about that. All right, so point number one is multiplying the problem.
Let's be honest, women. Naturally, we speak more, we worry more, we spend more, and we gain more weight than guys, right? It's not even fair. We can also make life miserable when we're not happy by multiplying the problem. Usually, I multiply the problem or I'm full of the wrong stuff. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about. Empty things don't have to be evil to be empty. And so I just want us to do kind of a gauge, an evaluation. And this isn't just for mothers. I am speaking to the mothers, but I think all of us can relate. When we're empty, there's nothing that can be produced from that, right? Or if we're full of the wrong stuff, and we're going to look at what that scripture is. But something that really helps me is to recognize when I'm not full, I'm usually tired. And I have kind of like the acronym for tired, T-I-R-E-D. And so I'm going to walk through it real quick. The T stands for trapped. Whether you're in a relationship or a situation, you just might be feeling really trapped right now. The I stands for indicted. You feel like you're a bad person. I and R are the mom shame zones that we get in. So when you feel indicted, you feel like you're a bad person. R is responsible. That's where you feel like it's your fault for something. And that's not a bad feeling if it's pointing you to repentance or to turn things around, right? These are all feelings can kind of help us, right? Be red flags, indicators. And then E is exposed. That's when you as a woman, you just might not feel safe. Maybe even in your own home. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's even just with yourself. And then D is defensive. This one to me is like my arch enemy. Defensive, when I feel tired, especially when I feel defensive, that's when I'm like blaming Jonathan in particular or the kids for everything. Like, it's not me, it's you. So you need to fix you, right? I've evaluated when I've been tired, and I can share from experience rather than just like how awesome I am. If you guys don't mind, I want to share my weaknesses so that we can actually sit for a moment and relate and recognize, wow, God, I'm not alone in this. And wow, God, like, we really are in this together. I remember being tired. My kids were all little, and it was during the summer. One of my friends was like, hey, let's just get them to the movie theater because they have the free or the $5 movie thing. And it was just so much chaos was going on. I load up all three kids. I get to the movie theater and I'm pulling Lucas out of his car seat. He doesn't even have shoes. And like, I just broke down. Like, I don't know if I should just turn around. I don't know if I should just like, I just remember being so tired. That moment, I remember. Before Lucas was even born, I'm still adjusting to now Sophia having a second child. I had Damien and Sophia in the back seat of my car. It was like an Xterra. I can't even remember what car I had back then. But I remember driving, and I remember getting them in the car, and they were both screaming and sitting, gripping the steering wheel and going, I'm not gonna turn around. I'm just gonna keep driving. I can't. I'm so tired. I didn't even know how to wrap my mind. But have any of you mothers felt like where you're so tired that the tears dry up and all there is like sheer anger? Like there's one emotion that you have and it's angry because you don't even know how to fill yourself up. Well, I want to encourage you. I have felt trapped in relationships. I have felt indicted at work. Or anytime Jonathan said anything negative about the house, I took it so personally. And he wasn't trying to slam me for the floor being unswept. But when he said it, I felt like what he was trying to do was, and it wasn't that at all, right? Like he has the freedom to share reality. But I took it personally. There's times for some of us moms, maybe our kids haven't like turned out in the way that we had hoped, and we feel
that weight of why are they away from the Lord? I've told them about the Lord all the days of their life, right? Like whatever that is where you just feel so tired. Maybe you've been exposed in a friendship just by them no longer valuing you. Like you invested so much in a friendship or a relationship, even in the home. And you felt so exposed when you found out, like, wow, that's really, that's how you feel about me? Just defensive, like I've said. Some really good advice we were given. So Dr. Gottman, he's a famous psychologist, and he's known for his love lab. And he's written all of these books on the science of trust, how to connect, how to relate. And he always would talk about the Roach Motel. Don't go to the Roach Motel. And what he's saying in all of that is sometimes as couples, you're in a relationship and you both are just at each other. And he calls it the sliding glass door. I won't get into much to it. But when you both realize that you're just sitting in a nasty, rundown Roach Motel, you just feel trapped. You feel stuck there. And he gives tools in a lot of his books how to get out of the Roach Motel. And it is so encouraging. All of these, yes, we can pray. Yes, there's power in the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have a real enemy that wants to wedge his way in our families. We have to recognize that. But there are tools that we can use to get out of the Roach Motel, right? Nobody wants to be in a Roach Motel. And so how do we get out with that sliding glass door? I'm going to look at scripture. Ephesians 5:18 talks about being full. Since our first point, before we jump to the next point, multiplying the problem, what's the solution? In Ephesians 5:18, it says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And a lot of the time, we take that to mean like, oh, don't drink wine. But it's actually not the context of that passage at all. In fact, if you've been raised like Pentecostal or you've been exposed to like where people are like drunk in the Spirit and they actually like look like they're tipsy, you know, and like they're really like just having a moment with the Lord. That's not even what this scripture is saying. It's actually saying when you're drunk with wine, you're typically incoherent, right? Your eyes, your mouth, your ears are not attuned and sensitive, especially to the needs of others, but just reality in general. It's actually not saying, don't do that, but do the same thing in the spirit realm. It's actually saying, don't be so incoherent, and unaware, uncompassionate. Be careful, right? Like, don't let your mouth have no filter or your eyes. But the opposite of that, to be full of the Spirit, is to be so sensitive to people, to have eyes that see through how someone's behaving, and you're able to see what they're actually called to, who God's actually made them to be, right? Moms, we have the ability, looking at our children, despite how they're acting right now, to see beyond behavior into who we know from the beginning of their life, even beforehand, who God's called them to be. Like, that's the power of being full in the Spirit. That's what that passage is actually saying, is actually be more in tune, more caring towards other people. And debauchery in general is being full of sensual pleasures. That's being full of something else. So that's what that passage is saying, is don't be full maybe of yourself or just sensuality or whatever. Like, you can't be full of something. If I had a glass that was full of water and I tried to pour coffee into it, it just kind of waters down both, right? You have to dump out one to be full of the other. How many of you want to be full of the Spirit? We can be full of the Spirit. So let's not multiply the problem, women. That's including me. The powerful thing about Proverbs 31 is you can see this list of 22 verses for the 22 letters in the alphabet where she could have caused so much pain on her family. But instead, they call her blessed publicly because of all the things that she's multiplying in the house.
She's bringing peace, right? She can laugh at the face of, it says when the winter comes, her children, they know they're going to be clothed in scarlet, which is very contrast to white. I wish I could get into the beautiful minutiae of the ancient language. But for now, I want to move on to point two, because we have a lot to celebrate very soon. And I want to be sensitive to the time and the spirit of allowing us to be full. So I'll get to it. Point two is multiplying fullness. How do we multiply fullness? Being filled is more restful than you can imagine, mothers. I have this really sad default of wanting to control my family, my situation. I want to instill so much fear in my kids that they don't do anything bad, okay? I understand we all have different levels of healthy fear, but I'm talking about where they're scared of you. We know instinctively that's, we were created to be full, and that releases control. That releases fear from infesting our families. God is our source. We can be full. My life was changed, and it continues to change as I've gained tools from other women mostly. And so today, I hope for Mother's Day that we can all be replenished. The word filled is plareo in Hebrew, and it actually means to permeate something. So even in Ephesians, it translates from Hebrew to Greek when we're looking at Ephesians, as opposed to when we were in Proverbs. Imagine I had a glass of water, and I took an Alka-Seltzer, and I dropped it in. What would it do? Just a part of it? All of it. That's literally the Greek translation of being filled with the Spirit. Is permeating the entire glass. But you know what's discouraging? In John 4:14, right? Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. I will go ahead and give a disclaimer, the first theological conversation with humanity, with her outside of his disciples. And he shares, you never have to thirst again. I'm your living water. I will continually. And we take that as born again believers, and it doesn't seem to fit when we are tired, T-I-R-E-D. But God, you said you would fill me and I won't thirst again, but I am really thirsty right now. So I want us to do justice to that scripture where it says you won't thirst again. It's like the Alka-Seltzer. It doesn't mean that the Alka-Seltzer is just going to keep fizzing, but you just get another one. And you drop it in. You have an endless supply of Alka-Seltzer tablets. That's what Jesus is saying. We are human. We will feel drained, tired, thirsty, but he is a continual source of strength for us. And I really want, especially us mothers, to tap into. And that the fact that he was talking to a woman about this just shows he, even in Ephesians 3:17-19, just a couple verses before Ephesians 5, being full, not drunk with wine, but full in the Spirit, it's explaining where our source is and what that source is in God is love. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints the width, the height, the depth, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. Oh, I hate walking away from that and continuing on. Just the power of that. That you may be filled to all the fullness of God. That's available for us. Can we take a moment and just a little praise break? Thank you, God, that you offer us the fullness of God. The Alka-Seltzer that continues, right? When it stops, you put in another drop. God is there. All right, so here's how you focus on the fullness. Are you ready, moms? I want you to like lean in real close. We focus in on the fullness by knowing that it's not our job to fix people.
Isn't that freeing? It's God's job to fix people, including you, but also for every, there's just something really restful for us mothers this Mother's Day that we can just sit back and sense that God is our source. We need to tap into him daily, minutely, right? Ruling the spirit of your children will require the work of the Holy Spirit, period. No matter how old they are, not just as children under the age of 18. When I'm saying your children and you have adult children and you have children who have children, you know I'm referring still to you. You still are the matriarch. You still represent, right? Now you've got a lineage of children under you, but our source is in the Lord. And in closing, if you don't mind coming up, I want to share this powerful truth. And this is to the husbands and the children. So husbands and children, lean in real quick. Would you just love for your mom to be full? Then give her the right things to multiply. Give her the right things to multiply. Because we naturally, instinctively multiply. It's what we do. It is either gonna multiply the problem or multiply the fullness. Imagine that's the two X's. That's the two routes for us as women. And I know we don't want to multiply the problem. We were created to multiply the fullness of God in a way that I actually feel kind of sad that men don't get to be a part of that. It kind of makes me feel like, aw, we're a little left out. That's sad. Like, you guys joke, like, oh, I don't have to go through pregnancy. I'm like, of course I'm saying this looking back 13 years. But man, you kind of missed out. And even if, right, even if we have mothers who are dealing with infertility or they haven't had children, you're still wired. Maybe it might not be the physical aspect of having them right in your belly, but there's so much more multiplication that God's called you. In fact, maybe even more to tap into a different kind of multiplication that you're still called to really harness all the children in your influence, in your classroom, in your family. Man, I would definitely agree, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but some of the most awesome aunts in this world are the ones who looked at their nieces and nephews as their own and multiplied motherhood. For some of you, Marie, Carmen, Joey, Miss Shirley, you're my mom. Like, I don't just have one, I have five. Like, how is that? I'm so grateful for all of you who's, I just named your mom. Like I bet God's called something in anointed that's in your mom is being passed down to you. You just don't see it yet because maybe you don't have your own kids, or maybe you're not old enough yet, or maybe you're just beginning to realize. But there's a special multiplication that God is calling you to. For some of you, we're in different seasons. I can only attest to what it's like with an just barely teenager. Some of you have so much more of a right anointing, just all that you've been through, like justification to be up here and tell me what it's like to be a mom. But I've watched, that's the beautiful part about the church, is we're not just in this silo in our homes. The church, we all come together and we all share. If you don't come Wednesday nights, I encourage you to come. We have five more weeks left talking about heaven, but we're connecting. We're talking about what we're going through. And there's so much power and strength and encouragement in that. But I definitely believe that as we communally share as moms, we are multiplying into our work, into this church, into the the new moms, right? The older moms pouring into us. And what I've noticed of 17 years of Jonathan being a youth pastor, and like, I don't want to be strong with this because I know mom shame. And that's why I asked Jonathan if I could be the one to share it, although I know he can do a fantastic job, but he's not a mom. And he can encourage us moms, but I wanted to be here as a representative of a mom to say, man, I know I have messed up a lot. And so I don't want, in this moment, when we're about to stand up, I don't want there to be mom shame. It's distracting, it's exhausting, it makes me tired. But I do want us to be aware, consciously aware of what we're multiplying and how when we speak, it brings life or death to the family. There are times I have looked at, yes, there are times I have looked at my own kids and I'm just beginning to practice, I'm sorry. Margarita shared last week and it was so, or a few weeks ago in life group, it was so powerful. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I need a moment. Take a mom break. Your kids deserve it. Because I have with my mouth said things to my family. I can apologize, but it's there. I was angry. I was undone. I started multiplying the problem. I've apologized. And it seems like each year God pulls back a new layer for me to recognize. Whoo! The humble shall inherit the kingdom of God. Humble me, Lord. Teenagers, humble us to see when they start calling us out, right? Like, wait a minute. And then you lay down at night and you're like, they're right. Jonathan is my hero because he has a way of strongly communicating something in the most disarming way. And he genuinely has a shepherd's heart for this church. He's not belligerent, but he will get strong. But it's in this way that he just loves you. Can I tell you he's like that at home? I am Italian. I have a right to yell. It's what we do. I was raised that way. I was raised with arms swinging, like not my mom, right? It was Mother's Day. Just other people in the house. But there was a lot of brokenness. That's my mom prayed. If she's watching, you were awesome, Mom. Thank you so much for incubating me, keeping me alive. But we were exposed to a lot of trauma. My dad died from drugs when I was 5. My stepdad became incredibly abusive. We stayed at battered women and children's shelters just trying to get away. And we were in Georgia because we were hiding and we knew he couldn't find us all the way from the West Coast. So I'm grateful for my mom. But yes. But I have to recognize when I might have been raised in just a little bit of dysfunction and I'm recreating and multiplying that dysfunction in my own home. Even if they're grown moms, you still have time. You still have time to redirect that multiplication. But what I noticed with the youth is, did you know, and like I said, I don't mean to be this strong, but I really want it to come across that some of the most consistent, hardest pain in students' lives, but I'm talking specifically about the pain that students deal with their moms. I'm talking, when I would see students thriving, guess what I would always discover? Their moms were multiplying fullness. So I don't want to get too much into the heartache that we all are like, oh gosh, I've so messed up. Okay, so have I. Today's a new day. Let's multiply fullness, because I've also seen in students where they are just operating. Yeah, I don't want moms to project on their kids that their kids are a reflection solely of how they raised them. That is not fair. That is not fair. There are some moms who, they got a silver platter handed to them, and I'm like, you didn't do any of that, right? That's judgmental, mom. But because I look at my kids, I'm like, they are hard work, and I'm really failing here. Please, Lord, don't let them. Like, thank you, God, that I still have. But that's not what I'm saying. But we do create an atmosphere in our home, and multiply it. Moms, husbands, children, give her the right things to multiply. Moms, you recognize when you're tired, and you fill yourself up with Jesus, and He will help you multiply. Not just you doing 500 things in the home, you're multiplying in your husband, in your kids, in your grandkids, in your neighbor's kids, at the workplace. You come to this church and you pour into me and Jonathan and our kids. Thank you. Thank you for using that multiplication. If you all will stand to your feet. Who's heard the phrase, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? How about this one? Happy wife? There really is something to that. Let's sit in that stand, in that for a moment. We have the power to multiply. I want to read verse 25, 26, and then 28 and 29. If you'll just close your eyes with me. Proverbs 31 says, she's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Do you feel like laughing right now, moms? Because you can. We can allow the Holy Spirit to fill us up where we recognize the enemy is so scheming in our households and laugh in his face. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her lips. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. I'm calling all moms, if you'll to open your eyes, what are you multiplying right now? I would like to ask, if you don't mind, if you're comfortable, for all the moms to come forward, because I want you to grab one of these chapsticks and just stay while we pray and allow the children and husbands to pray over us. If you will come forward, and there will be time for prayer too if you want to stay, but right now we're just calling all moms, grab one of them, or if there's extra, grab two for your mom to bring to her. Let this message multiply, right? We were meant to multiply, women. The chapstick, I'm sure we are smart women. You recognize what this is for. On our lips rests multiplication. So as you reach for this in your purse, right? Like your kids will get the like little sneezes or whatever, and someone's got chapped lips because it was windy outside, and you grab. May this be a reminder to us moms. On it, it says multiply. That when we put that, and maybe you're just like, I need to symbolically act this out. Did you know that we have two rituals that we believe are symbolic in our Protestant faith? One is communion. We are taking an act of the bread and the wine to represent the body and the blood of Christ. One is water baptism. They symbolically, there's something powerful, right? Us Pentecostals, I hope a mother has taught you. If not, let me please have that place. You get you some olive oil in your kitchen and you put it in your car, you put it beside your bed, and you anoint the house, not because it's fairy dust, because it's a symbolic act of crushing. When we go to Israel, we will go to a wine press where we will see that the most oil is not actually in the skin, it's in the actual seed, the hard that has to be crushed. for the anointing. That's where we get Messiah comes from. That there is this crush. The oil represents our prayers that are saturating. Sophia used to have night terrors. A lot of toddlers experience it. And my friend gave me the best advice. She said, don't wake Sophia up because she'll connect you with the night terror. And it'll be hard for her to trust you, even subconsciously when she wakes up. Just be with her. Just be with her. And then as she's awake, right, you can explain to her. I just remember, like, she was so scared. And I just, as a mom, all I could do was just stand there with her and just speak. Speak the name, right? Speak the power. Do that, mothers. Man, you continue doing that. Some of y'all, like Pastor AJ said, y'all are even in the house because of what your mom has spoken over you. May this chapstick represent our lips multiplying to our families. We don't fight and scream anymore. You know what I discovered? I know I'm so late in the game, and Jonathan's like, I still have that default setting of recognizing I am yelling right now. I need to, and he just, that's where I was getting at with Jonathan. He just kind of looks at you like, is this necessary? Kind of looks around. There's so many times, like, I'll get after him. Like, I let him know when he's not being a good parent. That's not helpful. I'm just being honest. But Jonathan doesn't say it. He just looks at me. And it's not like I have, okay, he's human too, because I have had these death stares that go into my soul, pierce my heart, and I'm like, I will never do that again. Like, or like, oh, you want to fight? That's also in me. Come on, moms. You want? Let's go. All right, let's go. Right now, I'll take off my hoops. Let's go, Jonathan. Kids, we'll be right outside. You can watch us duel it out. I don't care. I'm not that one that was raised like, we don't fight in front of the kids. I was raised by a single mom. My stepdad that was there was throwing us against walls. So I'm grateful for my mom, but I'm also grateful for those that are in my life to influence me that you don't have to say that, Jubilee. You'll regret that later. We don't have to scream. We don't have to shame. And guess what? When we do, when it comes out and we got to catch it, just apologize. Let your kids know you're human. They actually will rely on you more if you let them know how human you are. We have the power to bring peace in our house, just like it was said in Proverbs 31. And I'd like for us to close our eyes and let's pray. Lord, may us as women of May 2022 be women of noble character. God, I know that when it says she's a virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, that Hebrew word is what you called Caesar's. That word, we made it a little bit more fluffy to, at one point, maybe like appease the what they would call the weaker gender, be more, right, noble and virtuous sounds better to a woman, it may be in a patriarchal society, but God, I'm calling out what that word means in the Hebrew. I'm calling out that word means conqueror, powerful one. God, the one that you've entrusted these women to multiply the fullness. May we multiply in our families for the remaining days of our life. That's the part of the verse, God, I want to hone in on. It said that she brought good and not harm all the days of her life. That's also speaking to the young women in here. It doesn't say all the days of their marriage, all the days of their motherhood. For every woman hearing the sound of my voice, you were called to bring good to your husband and family all the days of your life. That means before you've been entrusted with them, that means some of them have passed and you're still on this earth breathing, you are still to bring good to them. May our eager hands be guided by our wisdom as we rise up early and stay up late, multiplying. May we provide for our families. May our arms be opened and extend to the poor and the needy. Like Proverbs 31 says, Holy Spirit, show us how to clothe our family with words and speak wisdom and faithful instruction. Proverbs 28 says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. 31 says, honor her for all of her hands, for what all of her hands have done. Let her works bring her praise at the city gates. So Jesus, I speak over every woman in here to fill her up with your love and your fullness. God, we thank you for our mothers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.